Very hot already today. Judith, shall we clap along to our theme tune?
Yeah, well, however it sounds, I've completely forgotten. Right, come on then. Way
there we off. Go. Hey. Do you know what I'm going to do, Judith, this afternoon? Well, I'm going to write some lyrics to that song.
Ooh, that's a fancy idea.
I'm going to write some lyrics and I'll send a bit like Bernie Taupin, and I'll send them to you, my Elton John, and then maybe you'll learn to play this tune, our theme tune, on the piano or the kazoo or the comb and tissue paper.
Yes, it's going to be the, what's that thing that everybody plays? The ukulele. It's going to be the ukulele, isn't it, unfortunately.
Have you actually got a ukulele?
Of course I have not. Is that what you take me for?
Well, I don't know. I thought someone in the village might have given you one. I thought maybe Patty might have bought you one.
Everywhere in the village. I cannot tell you. You go to any event, out they come.
Oh, God, yes. I'd have to have a flamethrower, I tell you. Now, shall I tell you what? I'm a bit late today. I don't know about you, Judith. Do you ever do this for starters, may I ask something? Have you got a cleaner at the moment? Have you got your cleaner back?
Very interesting question. We have, actually, we've been sort of paying her during lockdown.
Yes, me too.
Mike's decision
is
much nicer than me. Mike's decision. And she very, so now I think, basically we have got a slot in 2 weeks' time because I think, you know, somebody's looking after the kids or whatever and she's allowed. Yeah. So basically the long and short of that is not at the moment, but come the week after next. Yes. How about you?
Well, very, very similarly, interestingly enough, I've been paying I've been managing, Judith. I mean, it might not pass muster to anybody with decent eyesight and hygiene standards.
No, I could vouch for that probably, yes. Yeah.
But I have to say that I was a bit late to the podcast this morning because I started wiping down. Do you ever get that thing in the kitchen where the light suddenly hits everything from a completely different angle?
Oh, God, all the time.
You realise how filthy.
Yes, all the surfaces are.
And thumbprinted, yes.
Yeah, and then once you see that, you've got to do it. It's like seeing a weed in the garden. You see it, you've got to do it. Can't leave it then. No, well, no.
I haven't got the weed thing yet. But, so I started. And then I don't really have the methods down right. I think that, you know, I don't think cleaners should be underestimated because I think they really know what they're doing. I think they cut their cleaning time down in half just by being really proficient.
Yeah.
So I obviously picked up the wrong cloth and I put a bit of hot water on it and I think it had some grease on and basically I was just wiping my cabinets down with a filthy, greasy rag. And then, you know, I looked at that and I thought, oh, shit.
Oh, I know. Have you ever done that with a window or a really polished? Oh, that is so annoying. I did that the other day. I thought, I'm going to have a go with these windows. Got it, just like you say, I got the wrong duster, got one that I'd been doing, you know, with my
something
nice
else
oily
with
thing. Yeah, spent ages, thought, oh, yeah, that looks good. Then about 5 minutes later, all these bloody, look like somebody got the fingers in the butter dish and just gone, fucking infuriating. Yeah, because then it's worse, isn't it?
It's your fault as well. So that's what I've been doing. I'm with you now anyway. And I want to start this podcast, Judith, with a kind of public declaration. And it's a sort of apology and it's a thank you. I just want to say thank you to, we got some really lovely emails last week, you know, wishing me luck about, first of all, hoping that my cystitis cleared up.
I know, I was quite worried about you. I was.
God, I've got hold of some antibiotics on the internet, love. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about me. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I can give you the number later. I can give you the email address. I'll give you the link. I'll send you the link. But last week got a bit complicated, not just because of the cystitis. Basically, Judith, I was reminded after the podcast that what I was talking about, which was possibly visiting my mother, wasn't yet government approved. And I needed to be more careful in case I encouraged other people to do something that was still considered risky. Yep. So I just want to leave it right there and just say I'm very sorry about that. And roll on post July the 4th when everything gets relaxed a bit more.
I did wonder why you hadn't put some pictures, so that explains it.
So there we go.
In good time, you will.
It all got very complicated. So there we go. But you had family visiting.
Yes, well, because we met Ellen halfway, which I think you're allowed to do, weren't you, for exercise or something? Anyway, yeah, I mean, judging by
who
the
knows,
of bloody...
who knows, Judith. Oh, it's all so fucking complicated.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's got even more complicated now, hasn't it? We better come on to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but judging, to be honest, by the amount of traffic on the roads, so I think everybody's doing what the hell they like. I can tell you. So yeah, we met Ellen halfway. Ellen an hour and halfway. It's quite difficult to say. Ellen,
where is
now,
your halfway? Where's your halfway?
I think it's called Buckinghamshire. One of those home counters. They all roll into one for me. You know,
did you find
you?
A nice sort of grassy knoll or something?
Yes, yes, we did. We found a nice park by the river, by the Thames. Very, very lovely. I took the picnic table and those funny, you know, chairs that you wear at kind of festivals and stuff that are very uncomfortable.
But you wear anyway. At festivals.
Did I say wear?
Yeah, you did. But I'm going to let you off the hook. Hold on. I haven't got a picnic table, Judith.
Oh, what?
So, no, I've never had a picnic table in my life or chairs. I've got a rug. I say, get down on the floor. Get down. Well, get down on it. If don't. You're picnicking, I'm not soppy picnicking. Picnicking with tables... Oh, you're very kitted out. Now, talk me through the picnic. I want to know whether you made or whether you bought.
Oh, I made. Well, I went a little bit overboard because it's been a long time since I've seen, Aaron. I mean, months and months and months. So I boiled a ham.
Oh my God, Judith.
Yes. Yeah, in my slow cooker.
It's like Boxing Day.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't stop there. I did Ellen's favourite potato salad with new potatoes, mint and peas and mayonnaise and... spring onions, very nice.
Salivating.
I bought a side of salmon. Went completely over the top.
Oh my God, Judith.
Yeah, I did.
This is like a wedding buffet.
Doesn't stop there. And then I saw in the Sunday Times a few weeks ago a thing where you could make your own sausage rolls. So I did that. I did. Oh my God. Oh, yes. I
don't even understand how. Is this rough puff so pastry, easy. Roughy tufty pastry? No, listen,
you bought
the pastry.
Of course, I bought my own pastry. Bought the pastry. No, but listen, it was really, really good because it was one of those nice recipes that looked like you could do it, you know, in 2 seconds, like with that. So what you did, so basically you rolled out the pastry and then you bought some sausages, okay? You bought your sausages and squeezed out the sausage meat. And then I put a little, you know, bit of kind of, you know, a few herbs and some, and I reduced.
So you emptied the sausages from their skins.
Yes,
sort
yes.
of a bit like, because sausage skins are a bit like condoms, aren't they? So you sort
of
squeezed the meat out of the sausage condom into a bowl and then added some herbs.
Yeah, I deconstructed them and then I constructed them again.
And then
into shells. And then I did, and then in the recipe, you roll it up, you see, and you chop it up, and then you roll it in sesame seeds. They were absolute triumph. I've got to say, they were a triumph, Jenny.
Oh my goodness, they sound delicious. And was there anything? Were they happy to see? Was it a nice occasion?
It
or did you start
lovely.
Bitching after?
No, it lasted just about the right amount of time. I think we left just before, you know. They got sick of us, I think. But then maybe that's how I judge it, and probably that, you know, it was a fine lane.
Yeah.
But it was very nice to see them. But do you know what? We were travelling along, and we had to go through Bicester, and I got this glimpse down one of their kind of avenues.
Yeah.
And it was just like Oxford Street
full?
On Christmas Eve. I mean, it was just packed shoulder to shoulder, shoulder. And you just think, well, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be doing 2 metres. It was 2 metres then. I mean, you know... It is confusing, but people are getting very inventive. And the other day in the butcher's, it was quite a sort of narrow place, you know, the counter, there's not much room. And they got this sign that said, if you can't pass safely, you know, at socially distanced from your next customer, you have to turn back to back and go kind of like that, like a sort of line dance.
I like
it,
Judith.
All going to break
into... I think
it's
sensible. My exercise, I'm doing quite well. I'm doing better than I've done before, okay, because you know me, I hate exercise. I like a class. I like a class mostly involving mat work. I like rolling around on a mat and I don't mind swimming, but my eyes are a problem. But I'm a bit bored of walking. And what I'd quite like, what you've triggered in me is I think, wouldn't it be great if every park at a certain time, they could advertise different times, had a country and western half an hour, just half an hour of line dancing.
Oh, Jenny, that is a brilliant idea.
I do think that local councils could take it upon themselves to mix it up a bit and offer us some more park-based activities.
Absolutely. All you need is somebody with some bloody great ghetto blaster, if that's what you still call them, and
or
off we go.
Or a beatbox. I'm not sure what that a beatbox is. I think, in fact, I think beatbox is when people make noises with their mouths that sound like drums.
So would Jeff join in? So if that was happening in the park, would Jeff join in or not? Mike wouldn't.
I would buy him some boots and a Stetson, and I'd want him in spurs, and I'd get him a check shirt and the whole thing. Thing is, I could dress Jeff up as a cowboy really easily.
Oh, he'd look good. As you were just saying that, I was thinking, do you know what? He's made for it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do you know what I overheard in the park and this is the sort of depressing thing. This is why we need communal line dancing and music to drown out ridiculous things that people are saying that you can overhear. I overheard the girl in the park arguing with her mum on her mobile phone. And the girl was about 15. And I don't think her mum knew that she was quite dressed up, because her mum was on the other end of the mobile phone. The girl's in the middle of the park, right? And she's got a little skimpy black dress on and a very sort of jazzy sequined bolero-ish top thing. And she's quite made up and she's obviously got plans. But she's on the phone to her mother. And I heard the girl say, "Oh, didn't you even know, mum? There's like a cure now. It's just your paranoia."
No.
Yeah.
And that is really worrying, isn't it?
Isn't it? And for a moment, I felt like going over and saying, "Oh, do you know what? This isn't quite true. There is, you know, they've found that a certain steroid will help certain people."
Yeah.
You know,
but
you have to be so ill to get that.
And
it's no, you know, there's no guarantee, and you know, it's not a cure-all. And you silly girl.
Silly girl. But, you know, you didn't intervene.
You can't tell 15-year-olds, can you?
No. You reined yourself in. It's a fine line, isn't it, these days, as to whether we do intervene or not, generally.
I kept my trap shut, Judith. I did.
Yeah. We're probably right. She wouldn't have listened to you anyway. She would just said that to the old cow. What do you know about anything, you old fart?
I'm not going to listen to my mum. I'm not going to listen to you.
Exactly.
Get out of it. And I've had to take a back seat all week, really, to be honest, Judith. Father's Day as well. Now, is that celebrated in your house?
It is. Not as much as probably Mother's Day. But yes, it is. Yes, of course it is. Absolutely, yes. And we did see Sienna in her garden, socially distanced and so on, which is very nice. But I mean, it was nice for me too. But of course we did. Yeah, did you?
Well, I didn't. It's nothing to do with me. I'm not her dad, am I?
Oh, were you excluded? He excluded.
Sort of. Yeah, they have this sort of little pizza date. Normally she takes him out for a pizza.
Oh.
And ice cream, like he's some kind of 5-year-old. I'm really anti-pizza. I don't know where you stand on pizza, Judith. Tell me what you think about pizza.
What is the point of pizza? It's just a fucking
sandwich.
It's
like toast. Yes, it's like
toasted sandwich. Yeah.
Don't get your knickers in a twist over it. I don't want your hot ovens, your this ovens, your that ovens, and you've got one in the garden. I couldn't give a shit. No. It's a child's meal.
No. Toasted sandwich maker. It's all you need. Yeah, quite agree.
Anyway,
go on.
So there's this pizza place that everyone raves on about at the bottom of our street.
Wood-fired?
Yeah, wood-fired. Is it wood-fired? I couldn't give a fuck. So anyway, there's this pizza place down the bottom of my road and you can do takeaway. And it's quite clever because you phone up and they give you a time slot to come and pick your pizza up. So I was allowed to walk down the road with Phoebe 2 metres apart to go and get her dad's pizza. And then they sat out in the garden eating the pizza and I was indoors having a salad on my own.
Did you look through the window like a child that wanted to be part of the party?
They were having their date. The dad thing is interesting, isn't it? I mean, you know, you loved your dad, didn't you?
Oh, I loved my dad. He was a travelling salesman for Kraft cheese. Have I talked about
this
before?
No, never. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was
Did you have loads of free samples?
Oh, the garage was, I remember the flip-up garage, and it was stacked full of Cracker Barrel and cheese slices. And then, because lots of things that came in from America, you know, that we didn't have, like tomato ketchup and what else did he used to have? A few sort of tin things and real coffee and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I was brought up on Kraft Dairy Lease, you know.
God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
He was very funny, you know, actually, when I think about it. I can still hear my parents sort of giggling, you know, late at night because he'd make her laugh. He was funny and he was besotted with me. I mean, let's face it, that was the main thing. He was besotted with me. I could do no wrong.
I think also you were an only child, so yeah. There was, you know, your that attention was never shared.
Yes, that's right.
I really loved my dad. I mean, I'm really lucky because he only died about. Oh, 5 years ago, something like that. Can't really remember.
And he was how old was he when he died?
He was 90.
Yeah,
he was 90 when he died.
Quite a while, didn't
you? Yeah. Oh yeah, I did. I was really lucky, and we were all with him when he died, and it was kind of terrible but okay. And I'm really glad that I got that opportunity. I mean, you know, it's not something I'd like to do every day.
Yeah.
And my dad was very funny as well, and I think that's possibly. Yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, he sounds a bit like your dad in the way. I mean, if you're going to be a travelling salesman, you've got to get on with everybody, haven't you?
Yes,
you've got to get,
definitely.
You know, beyond the front gate, and you've got to sort of persuade people that they want what you've got to sell them. And my dad, I mean, he was an army major, but he had the similar kind of. He was very everymanish, and he could talk to anybody anywhere about anything, because he would always. I think that sometimes he could have been quite offensive. He's a bit like me. He was sort of slightly clumsy occasionally, but because he was very funny, people forgave him. And then, you know, he was sort of, I'm still, but when I am allowed to go and see my mother and it's all above board, you know, when I go round my local old town, there are people stop me all over and go, I did love your dad. Your dad was so great.
Aww.
You know, I was the barmaid at the Blossoms. I worked at the golf club. Oh, your dad did make me laugh. Oh, I did art classes with your dad. Your dad and I tried to learn French together. Oh, he was funny. Yes, yes.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I know.
And was he very proud of you, Jenny? I mean, if
no, not particularly.
Oh, of course he was.
Yeah, but
he must have been.
My parents aren't really like that. They're not scrapbook parents, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think the world divides into scrapbook and non-scrapbook parents. There are some parents that keep scrapbooks of your achievements. And my parents are not that kind of parent. I think that very quietly pleased for all of us having been able to do what we wanted to do and make a living. That's been the main thing.
But did he come and see you, your shows live? I mean,
No, Judith, because it would have been wildly inappropriate.
Yeah,
because the kind of material that I was doing... he'd have looked a bit out of place and peculiar. My mum was fortunately, I mean, he got quite ill for quite a long time. His mobility was very bad. He'd sort of lost his knees in a parachuting incident, and then he'd got plastic ones put in. And of course, every time he sat close to the fire, they started to melt, and you could kind of smell his knees.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
Are you kidding?
So his mobility was quite poor. So, but my mum saw some of the Grumpy shows, and she's seen some of the other sort of theatre-y stuff I've done. But the stand-up, I always kind of said, I don't think you'll like it. You'll make me feel
inhibited,
self-conscious.
Yeah, I bet. So, I can imagine that. Yeah.
There you go.
What we haven't talked about, Jenny Eclair, is the Sunday Times. Now, I knew that your book, Older and Wider, was going to be serialised in the Sunday Times, but I'd forgotten. And so I opened it up on Sunday, and there it was in all its glory. Three bloody pages, you clever
six
old
pages,
thing.
Judith, six pages, including the photos.
Oh.
I think I did some counting.
Lovely article, Jenny.
It was a good, what they'd done. It was an extract from Older and Wider, A Survivor's Guide to the Menopause, which I hope is the first of a series. I think we should just roll a few of these out. I think you should do one on gardening or some, you know, picnicking and professional picnic making. I don't know. And this one comes out on July the 2nd. And yeah, it's behind the paywall, sadly, so most people won't have seen it.
What does that mean?
Well, actually have to buy the physical paper, or you have to subscribe online to the Sunday Times, which is what I do. So anyway, it was a nice chunky article, and they'd gone through the book because the book is actually alphabetized. So it's an A to Z of the menopause. So there's all sorts of
little headings, and they'd gone through and kind of filleted out what they wanted to put in, and I think they'd done quite a nice job.
Oh yeah,
and I was really pleased with it, because you know when those sort of things, you know, they're happening, and there's a bit of you that feels utterly sick to your stomach before you open the newspaper and see what's inside it, in case, yes, you know, the actuality of it is, yes, so awful.
Absolutely.
And but no, I was really pleased with it.
Oh, and it's marvellous. So, I mean, we're hoping, aren't we? Let's face it, that lots of people will buy it, and that people get to know about the podcast as well, because that would
absolutely
be lovely.
Absolutely. Well, it's mentioned all the bleeding way through.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I tell you the things that I thought about the extract and the book is that I think it's very funny and it's very empathetic and all of those things which we'd expect from you. But it's kind of, you know, it's sort of original and it's, you know, kind of contemplative and important as well. And I think that's great, actually.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's quite, yeah, diary-ish. So it's a sort of very personal account of sort of what the menopause did to me. And I think very much now, because I'm 60, it is, and I started my menopause at 52. So it's been 8 years. And I do feel very much, and only this year do I feel out of the woods with it.
Do you? Do you think?
Yeah,
only
since about January of this year do I feel. And I also think writing the book kind of was very cathartic and very sort of finished it off for me. It managed to put all my thoughts and feelings about this new kind of new me, the post 50 me, in this sort of 10-year block, 50 to 60, which is kind of really pivotal in all our lives.
Yep.
And it sort of put it all in a box for me. And it's helped enormously. And I feel now that I can just sort of move beyond.
Oh, it's really good. But also it's very positive. I mean, I think the point is that what you were saying is, you know, there's that great David Bowie quote and there's the Simone de Beauvoir quote, which is, you know, if there's a point to old age, it's kind of becoming the person that you should always have been, and kind of, you know, finding the second skin and this kind of quite sort of deep, honest somehow.
You know, I think what the book says at the end is I'd rather be the age I am now than 22.
Yeah, that's right. But also it triggered in me lots of memories which I'd completely forgotten of what I was like as a sort of reckless 30-year-old. And I mean, you spoke about you know, that sort of, I don't know, you know, excesses and self-doubt and so on. But yeah, I mean, I suddenly remember all sorts of terrible things that I did as a reckless young woman.
What do you think the worst, most dangerous or daftest thing that you did?
I went to a cocktail party, sort of drinks party, really, with somebody I didn't know very well. I didn't know the hosts in Stockwell. And sometimes, if I'm on the bus coming to yours, I pass that flat. It's a basement flat. And I think, oh my God, that was a close shave. Because I think that somebody must have been mixing kind of dry martinis or something. And maybe I was a bit self-conscious and a bit nervous, but I knocked them back. But I remember going to the loo and just suddenly thinking, oh, I'm not sure I can stand up here. just absolutely, completely debilitated. Looking at Ian, who'd taken me to the party.
Remember his name.
Yes, I can. Oh, well, I think he was my flatmate. That's right. He was my flatmate. Okay. And I said, oh, God, Ian, you know, I think I might have to go home. And he was completely useless. Well, I'm staying, you know, like, tough shit, you're on your own, kid. And this, I was going to say this boy, but this bloke sort of said, look, I'll take you home. And I remember at the time thinking, this is a really dangerous thing to do, because what am I doing? You know, and he took me home and he put me to bed. And I thought, well, he's either a serial killer or he's a really nice bloke.
But I'm slightly
sure.
too pissed to care.
Yeah, and put a bucket by the bed. And he said, well, I'm going back to the party, but you'll be fine. And I just conked out, woke up the next morning, and he gave me some breakfast. But I went, bloody hell, that was sailing close to the wind, wasn't it?
Did he stay the night?
Oh, no, he came back and stayed in his own flat. Does he give me his spare room? But, I mean, yeah, I didn't know him from Adam.
So he took you back to his house and put you to bed?
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's like a kind of superhero, the superhero of pissed young women.
Absolutely,
sort of
lovely
sailing
guy.
Around London and finding them saying, right, back to mine. I'll put you in the sick bed
with the party bucket, yeah. But also I remember giving a party in Bristol. I loved living in Bristol. I don't know how this happened, and I'd forgotten all about it until I read your article, but sort of about two-thirds of the way through, I don't know how, but somebody said, oh, you know, there's a party in Abbey Road Studios that we're all invited to because we all worked at Nationwide, you know. I said, really? Abbey Road Studios? Ooh.
Not the one in London?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're going to go from Bristol to London for a party?
Yeah, so me and David Kitson completely recklessly and terribly rudely said to everybody, look, we've been invited to a party at Abbey Road Studios. I'm sure you don't mind. Let yourselves out. Off we went. Got on the M5 because it was foggy. And that served us right, didn't it? So by the time we got there, it was all over. That really did. That was a good comeuppance.
And were you drink driving? Were you drink driving, yeah. Judith?
But, you know, I think we used to do an awful lot of that. I remember coming back over Hammersmith flyover often, thinking, OK, well, I'll just recite to myself my registration number, because if the police pull me over, if I can remember that, they'll wave me on. They'll be fine. Such outrageous behaviour. Did you never do that?
Well, fortunately, I didn't learn to drive till quite late. But I've never been able to remember my registration number. So even if I'm stone cold sober, if I got stopped and they asked me, they'd think I was pissed, you know. But enough of us getting older and all that.
Yes.
And
yes.
I want
yes.
to get on to yes. Puppygate now.
I am looking forward to it. Of course I am looking forward to it. But the fact that it really is happening has suddenly... Yeah.
It's a live dog.
Shit.
It's going to need you.
It's going to need me, Jenny. It's going to be... I mean, honestly, I've been reading these chapters about what I'm going to have to do in the night and everything. I think I might have to buy some PPE. I mean, it sounds as if it's going to be, you know, we're going to have... You know, like in zoos, when you go into the elephant house and they've got those great big hoses. I think it's going to be a bit like that in our kitchen.
Why do you think it's going to piss and shit all over the place?
Of course it is. I think I've got every morning, the moment I put my dressing gown on, I potter around all nicely and everything, you know, make myself some orange juice and everything. it's gonna be like those you know.
Your world's going to shatter.
Oh, Jesus, what have we done? What have we done?
I tell you what, you will love it. You will love it, though.
Yeah, I hope
genuinely, because I've seen my brother when he came socially distanced in the garden, and when he talked about his new dog, his face changed, Judith.
Oh,
and
did
he
it?
Went all a bit slack-jawed and yeah, and just, and he did tell a very funny story there, because they only have a tiny back garden like ours as well, and they got this new dog, and his wife's has other family with a massive garden, so they were invited to socially distance, you know, afternoon do whatever, or just say hello in this massive garden. They took the brand new puppy. They'd only had literally overnight, and they took the puppy looked at this garden. He scampered off and he ran round trees and he just he was exploring everywhere and obviously an absolute element. And Ben said, you know, and then they took him home. And this dog's first lesson is, hey, mate, you know, it's not all roses, love. It's not all roses. This life. You think it's going to be all right? Look at this. Look at where you live, you twat.
Get real.
Yeah.
Oh,
at least you've got a nice big garden. And what about names?
Now, we had some... Ellen's got a cat called Marble. And so James's idea is that we called it Mabel. So Mabel and Marble, that was a stupid idea, Jane.
No, I like Mabel. I like dogs called Mabel. I think Mabel's a nice name.
Maisie?
Well, Maisie's good as well.
Maisie's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we'll have to see her first. I think we'll have to see her first. And then what we'll do is put names in the hat. That's what we did when we had that dog all those hundreds of years ago. Whether I'll have time once the dog arrives to actually do all my projects and my hobbies, I don't know. journey.
No, you mustn't start resenting the dog.
No, I mean, I think what I've done actually over the last few weeks is I've sort of, you know, I've gone a bit kind of project crazy, really. What with sort of the, you know, that rowing boat and bits and pieces and the old upcycling. I've been very into upcycling, Jenny.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've just done another chest of drawers in a very nice cream and a sort of with grey kind. Actually, why didn't I put a photo on the Instagram?
Well, put a photo on our Instagram account, which is, of course, Older and Wider Podcast.
Very
you can
good.
Find us on the Instagram. And then, you can email us as well. Can you remember that address, Judith? Can you remember the email address?
olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, you didn't sound very confident, but you're absolutely right. Now, I just want a mental picture, though, before you put the picture up of this chest of drawers. And where's it going to go in the house? What's it for?
It's going to go in the summer house.
Are you using that chalk paint?
No. Oh, no. I've got an electric sander these days. Oh, I've gone full on, Jenny. Oh. I've gone the full on sander.
Nice, yes, exactly. Nice. Because, of course, my decoupage door is up.
Well, yes, I mean, my chest of drawers is nothing compared to your decoupage d'art. Oh, God, I can't say it.
Nobody can say it. Nobody can say decoupage.
You can't even say it.
No, I
Jenny.
Can't. I didn't do French. Every time I say, I've talked to my sister about my decoupage, and every time I say decoupage, she sneers at me.
Well, because what you're doing is you're going, dick, decoupage.
I know. You know what I mean? I've stuck some stuff on a door. That's basically what
beautiful.
I've done.
Oh, it's beautiful, Jenny.
It is. I'm really, really proud of it. And it sort of it means that now if I do a Zoom meeting, I don't feel so shamed by the dullness of my boiler door. And I think it distracts from how shit I'm looking, which is the main thing.
Oh, stop it.
I'm hoping people are going to, if I'm in a Zoom meeting, they'll be looking over my shoulder going, oh, look at that decoupage door.
Of course they will be. And every time you go past it, do you just sort of, is there a little bit of, oh, look, it's quite good, isn't
it? Yes, Judy, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
And I think that is it. That I tell you what, that is the satisfaction, isn't it, of doing things yourself? Because everything that I've kind of made myself has worked. Yeah. You do. You just catch yourself, don't you, think, oh, quite good.
Even, you know, when I dyed my undies pink the other day, when I put on my pair of pink pants, because I had this horrible pair of vanilla coloured pants, and I dyed them pink and I put those on and I think, oh, look at my new pink pants I dyed myself. How wonderful.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, listen, we've yatted on a lot now. It's time to go to our cultural roundup of the week. So I'm going to throw to you, Judith, and ask you, what are you watching on the television?
Well, still very much into Mad Men. And my God, it's good, Jenny. I can't remember. I think you said you'd started it a bit like us and you hadn't finished it.
Yeah.
And what's astonishing is, you know, how life was really in the 60s. I mean, the black segregation is horrific. Where's it set, by the way? Oh, it says in Manhattan.
Right.
But literally, there are two service lifts with a black guy operating the lift, obviously, for all the kind of white workers. And then once or twice, what would happen is they'd say, you know, another sort of black guy would get in with a mop or whatever. And the operator would say, oh, do you mind? You know, the service lift is out of order. So I'm assuming that that's what happened, is black people went in the service lift to do their service jobs. And then the kind of, you know, the well-paid people, white people went in the other one. And this is in our lifetimes, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, this is when we were small children.
Well, yeah, and also, there's the situation with women as well, the kind of, God, the sort of sexual innuendo and the bottom pinching and, yeah, the kind of expectation that women would just be the secretaries and so on and all that. And it just makes you, I mean, you know, that's obviously the backdrop, isn't it? In the context, it's what makes it sort of meaty and interesting. And then, you know, the Nixon-Kennedy election has just happened with the kind of real footage. I had no idea it was that close.
No, well, you see, I think that people sort of slag off television as a non intellectual thing, but in actual, I learn more from television and things like, well, I don't know what I'm struggling now.
Considering I've started,
yes, thank you, Judith. Considering I've started another series of Skin Wars, the body painting competition, which isn't particularly of much intellectual merit, but I want now to start what I need to do, what I went wrong with Mad Men is I started in the middle and just didn't get into it. I didn't know who they were.
Oh, you've got to start from the beginning. It's fantastic.
Start from scratch. Yeah. Same as
me. But are you still on? Are you still on The Sopranos?
Still on Sopranos. I mean, we're at the end of series two now. Everyone says there's one dodgy series within the six or seven that they did.
Always is, isn't there?
Yeah, always there's always is. One. But I'm still, at the moment, I'm still enjoying every single second of it. I'm still recommending I May Destroy You. I think some of it gets very distressing, but I think it's absolutely incredible. I'm going to do a little plug for Little Lifetimes now, which is the 15-minute dramas on Radio 4 that can be caught up with on Sounds that I wrote. And then we're on books.
Yeah, no, I've just finished a book which I've really, really enjoyed called Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owen. Have you heard a bit?
Yes, very much so. It's one of the biggest sellers at the moment.
Oh, is it? It was a book club suggestion. And I listened to it on Audible and it's really, really clever. It's just one of those sort of unfolding, but unfolding in a really sort of clever, unusual way. Sort of, I suppose, crime thriller, but also the central character. It's set in segregated, again, America, actually, in North Carolina, in the, 60s and 70s. Actually, interestingly, I've just noticed the parallel with Mad Men. And again, you know, it has that sort of historical context. Yeah, it's good. Really good.
Okay.
Very, very much.
So, Judith, book-wise, I'm now on Magpie Lane, a twisty-turny psychological mystery written by Lucy Atkins. I've only just started it. So what I know so far is it's narrated by Dee, who's a middle-aged nanny with a backstory I'm yet to discover. Dee has been employed to look after an 8-year-old selectively mute girl called Felicity, who is the daughter of the head of an Oxford college, but she has gone missing. Now, as I say, I'm only a couple of chapters in. Apart from the nanny Dee, there's a dead mother, a stepmother and a new baby also in the family setup.
Set in the current day?
Set in the, before lockdown, current day, before the pandemic, pre-corona, current day.
Yeah, tricky.
Setting itself up to be a proper, you know, not old-fashioned because it's very contemporary, but a proper thumping good summer holiday read.
Nice. Yes. That sounds good.
I could recommend that. I mean, it's not taxing, but I needed something a little lighter than Hamnet, which kind of just trod on my heart quite a lot, the book I finished last week.
Okay, so that's enough of the cultural roundup. So the emails, lots of nice emails. I tell you what, there's been somebody called Belinda. Did you see Belinda's emails?
Yeah,
she sent us some great ideas about sort of beauty and health.
Well, it was more the health angle that I was interested in. I've given up on the beauty shit. I don't care. But she suggested progesterone cream for something or other, but I was more interested in her suggestion of absolute collagen because she said it was helping her with her receding gums. She said it's also helping with her hair, bones and temper tantrums. But I'm not that fussed. My hair's okay, my skin's okay, but my receding gums are a problem, Judith. Guess what I've done already? I have already, thanks to Belinda's email, ordered the absolute collagen.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's interesting because I think it's the stuff they sell in Boots, which is those, is it liquid? Is it liquid collagen? Yeah.
Yes.
But no, it sounds like, but it's not cheap, is it? Not unless you found a good value one. I thought it was quite expensive.
Well, it is a bit pricey. And if I don't get results, Judith, I won't be taking it anymore. Do you know what? I mean, I expect within 2 weeks for my gums to have grown back. I really do. I want at least a quarter of an inch of gum growth.
Yeah,
otherwise,
but this is always the problem, isn't it? With any treatment or vitamin, anything I have ever bought from Holland & Barrett, you think, oh, yeah, great. Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Yeah. You know, buy one, get one free. I'll stock up on that. Absolutely. And you start, I'll start off. And then if it doesn't work, like in 24 hours, it goes to the back of the cupboard. Can't be asked. It's a problem, isn't it? I bet you it says on the packet it's going to, you can't see the results for several weeks. Yeah. Good luck.
Who's got that time? Anyway, Claire, who's 64, got in touch and she said she was listening to us while filling up the car. She forgot to put the handbrake on.
She got so carried away.
Yeah, could have been carnage. Then we've got an email from Alison Shaw, 57, from Southsea, suffering from empty nest and asking whether art will kind of fill the gap. Yeah, it will a bit, but I suggest, Alison, you buy Older and Wider, A Survivor's Guide to the Menopause, because there's a whole chapter dealing with the empty nest. And my art tip for anyone thinking of beginning to muck about with some painting, acrylics, not watercolours, and the best paper you can afford.
Good tips. Very, very good tips. A nice segue into the book. Very good.
Did you notice what I did there? I was fucking clever. Good. I know.
And then also, did you see from Valerie Mills? She wants a mug, an older and wider mug, which we must one day get onto.
Yeah.
And she said she Googled older and wider mug. Do you know what came up? Beakers for the elderly.
Yeah. Isn't that brilliant? Really. Those sort of Tommy Tiptree beakers for old people.
Yeah.
So you've got handles on either side. Maybe in the future, if we get much older, we should do a version of older and wider mugs that are beakers for the elderly, but have our logo on them. Why not?
Indeed.
Why not?
Indeed. That's a whole new market, isn't it?
I tell you, we're going to tap into the care homes. And finally, Lisa Myers, she's menopausal. Oh, Judith, did you read this one? She's menopausal and having to wear a mask in the office.
Yes, I know. And she said she thinks she might be a walking fire risk. Oh, God, I'm feeling your pain, Lisa. Absolutely.
She should at least be allowed to be topless. That is my final word on that. Judith, I'm going to have to love you and leave you.
Yeah.
I have to say right now, I am exhausted. So I'm going to bail out of the podcast. What about you?
Me too. Yeah. Hot and flustered now.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Daisy. We will receive with gratitude your emails and anything you send us on Instagram. Thank you very much indeed for listening to this podcast. Spread the word if you can. And Older and Wider, the menopause book by my good self, is available for pre-order on Amazon and will be out in any bookshops from the 2nd of July. Thank you very, very much indeed. We'll join you again next week. Cheers all.
Bye.
Bye.